Who is the X factor for the Kentucky Wildcats to go on a run all the way to Phoenix for the Final Four? That is going to be our discussion today right here at the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Wildcats Today, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash. Carson, how are we doing?
I'm doing great today, especially after that big road win against Mississippi State and the Kentucky boy sealing the deal at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted banana peppers on that.
And some hot honey.
The hot honey, but if you want it Reed style, you got to get
banana. Okay, yeah. That sounds so good.
No, I'll take the Pep 150. Thanks, Dilly. But we're going to get into that game here in a minute. But first, you know, knowing that Arkansas is coming to town and it's not as interesting of a game to break down as normal, we'll talk about it. But, you know, at the tail end, we wanted to break down. Who's the X factor for this team to go on a Final Four run? You know, we want to talk more big picture today, and that's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to get into SEC standings and kind of some stuff there in a little bit. But, you know, to me, I wrote this, an article about it over Wildcats Today. To me, plain and simple, the X factor to this team is Big Z, Zvon Miravicevic. And I'm going to tell you why. I think it's because it's kind of what we say on this show a lot, Carson, is like, you know, we don't talk about Antonio Reeves. Why? Well, because he's going to score 20 points every night. Why talk about him? You know what you're getting from Reed and Rob. One of them every night is going to, they're never both going to do bad. You know, has there been a game where they both were bad? I really don't think there has been.
I don't think so.
There's been games where one isn't as good as the other and the other is great. So, you know, you're going to get an elite performance from one, a good performance from the other, sometimes elite from both, sometimes a little rough from one. Great. That's just how they play. It's pretty consistent. I think we know who Adu Thiero is. We know who Trey Mitchell is when he's not banged up. I think he wasn't playing like himself when he was hurt. So hopefully he comes back 100% and he can help this team. But I think the X factor is Big Z. I mean, really. So, Carson, who's your X factor? And let's debate this.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple things. I think your take on Big Z is good. I think Big Z is definitely an X factor. But based on recent success, I think – either Justin Edwards or Adu Thiero is my X factor. And that just pretty much means whoever's playing that four position, because both of them are making strides, leaps and bounds on their three-point shot. I mean, we saw Adu hit a big one against Mississippi State. Like, if those guys can start shooting, like, Justin's been over 40% recently. If Adu can get up to 40%, I mean, I don't know. I think those are both – X factors that can get your team going. And my real X factor is the nuclear lineup. I think that's the X factor. I'm going to take a lineup instead of a player, because I think Reed, Rob Reeves, and I think one of Adu Justin at the four, and then I think Big Z at the five.
Yeah,
that is my X factor to win a national championship, because Z is starting to give you what Ugonna gives you, but Z is so much more skilled on the offensive end that you have to play him at this point. And Bradshaw's kind of taking a backseat to Z and Ugo. So his minutes are going to get condensed by a lot.
Yeah. Here. And they already have, really.
Yeah. But I think Big Z should honestly leap Ugonna at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ugonna's plus minus was not very good.
Oh, goodness. It was either minus 22 or minus 21 in like 15 minutes, which is
Z's was plus 22?
Yeah, you keep saying what you're going to say. I'll pull up those numbers, because it was pretty insane how bad it was. So
Z's plus minus was the highest on the team, and he only had 2 points. Mm-hmm. So as good of an offensive weapon as Z is, he didn't even play his best offensively, and he still had the highest plus minus on the team. And that's why I think he should pass up Ugo, because that was a Ugo game. I mean, before the game, we're like, oh, yeah, Ugo has to lock down Tolu Smith and do all his defensive things. But he kind of got pushed and shoved around, and Tolu was dominating Ugo at the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. So – I mean, at this point, I think you run with the nuclear lineup and you don't look back, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. So we're at minus 21 for Ugo in 12 minutes. And in 21 minutes, Big Z led the team with a plus 17. So think about that. And I know plus minus – folks, it's not, you know, the perfect stat, but it's a stat. And, you know, Reed has 32 points on 11 of 14 shooting, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals, and he has a plus 11. Now, he was on the floor for 35 minutes compared to, you know, 21 of Z. So it's a relative stat. It's how you take it. Some like it, some don't. But, I mean, exactly what you said, Carson. I don't – now I'm not saying you go to the bench and I don't want to see him. I'm saying I think Big Z's the guy. I think you should see 25 minutes and 25 and 15. And then Aaron Bradshaw play if someone's in foul trouble. I mean, that's just, that's the reality here. I think that you're in a spot right now with Big Z where you hammered it perfectly. What he brings to you offensively in a game where he was 1 for 5 with 2 points, didn't hit his threes, not concerned about that. You know he can make them. He still was able to give you an incredible plus minus because he stopped Tolu. The whole game, they were just hammering Hugo early. Bang, 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 got out to a huge lead. Tolu was being incredible early. Big Z comes in and he shuts it down. I think, and I'm telling you, his block on Tolu, when I think we were down 9 points, I was like, that was for me to where I was like, okay, we're going to get back in this game. That felt,
yeah, because Tolu did his signature spin move, went offhand, yeah, and Z was just 7-3, you know. He just, yeah, smacks it.
And he respectfully declined that offering at the rim. And, you know, I just think maybe I'm just a big Z guy. And that could be the reality. Maybe I am. And if I am, call me out on it. But I'm just telling you, this kid needs to be on the court. What he can bring. So to me, and I want to push back a little bit on what you said about Adu and Justin. I don't disagree with you. I just have a different – I'm a believer that, you know, you don't want to have too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to scoring. I think you want that guy, like when DJ's on the court, you know, if he wants to facilitate, or a dude's on the court, he wants to defend and rebound and alley-oop, you know, and shoot when he's open. You don't want 5 guys on the floor who want to shoot the ball every time they have it.
No, that's not really what I was saying. I was just saying that I think Adu or Justin has to be the X factor, as in they have to hit their shots when they're open because they're so, yeah, good. They're so, so good at other things that if they can hit their threes when they're open, then our offense becomes unguardable. And that's
next. Yeah. No, I agree with you. What I'm saying is I just think that I'd rather those shots, in all honesty, go to somebody else. You don't have to have 5 guys on the floor. Now, spacing is key. Guys open for shots. I'd love, like you said, open shots. That's different. Justin and the dude, if they're open, shoot the three. Drive to the rim. I love that. I'm just saying, If I have to rank who I want to shoot the basketball, Adu and Justin are going to be much lower on that list than Rob, Reed, Antonio. You know what I mean?
So 100%. But I also think that our offense is best when Adu and Justin sit in the corner and they, yeah, either crash down for a backdoor lob or they stay out to where Rob, mm-hmm, can then either choose a floater or kick out to them. And when, yeah, he kicks out to them, they, if they're able to make that shot on a consistent basis, then there's no guarding us.
And believe that. Tell me, what's your guess on what Justin and Adu are shooting a piece from three this year? I was surprised when I saw those.
Ooh. I'm going to say Justin 33% and Adu
34.8 for Justin. 34.8, almost 35%.
Really, for Justin? Mm-hmm. Adu? I thought 30.
33.3.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yep, I mean, I'll take that, every, yeah, day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I agree with you. I just think – I think that who is the X factor – once again, this is just a fun conversation. There's no right or wrong answer. And while I agree with you, I just think – I think what Z can bring to the table is I think he can be a guy who in March can give you a game where he scores 22 points on 7 of – 12 shooting, makes 2 threes, blocks 5 shots, and grabs 9 rebounds. Hugo can't do that.
Mm-mm.
Aaron Bradshaw is closer to being able to do that, but Aaron Bradshaw can't do that.
Yeah, but Aaron Bradshaw is not as good on the defensive end.
Exactly. No, so but I'm saying, yeah, so Big Z's your guy. I don't even think it's now, and this is what we're talking. I'm not saying X Factor, I'm saying your center. Big Z needs to be the center. Now, If we say that, and then Arkansas is coming to town, I'm trying to think what team who we're going to play that has a good center. Adu. If Adu just shoves them around all day, then it's a conversation to have ahead of the SEC tournament. But, you know, if he, you know, doesn't let Adu push them around, Big Z's the guy. I mean, there's, you know, because of what he brings you off. If he can – think about that. Because here's on offense, I'm going to give you a hand chart. I'm going to give you a hand chart action. So on offense, here's Hugo, and then here is Z. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the advantage there goes to Z. Mm-hmm. If we thought that that was the same on defense in favor of Hugo, but if that is even or close to even,
yeah, you got to pick Big Z.
Conversation who should be on the floor. So, I mean, that's my thought. So I agree with you on Adu and Justin, because think about that. If in a March Madness game, they can give you 9 points on, or on, you know, Justin can go 3 or 4 from deep and give you 9 points.
I think Big Z makes our other players better.
Yeah.
I mean, because he opens the floor.
And he can pass.
And he can pass. He's a great passer. So I don't know. I'm fully behind what you're saying.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that, which is why I didn't want you to say Big Z, because then there's not a conversation. I agree. Like, I'm, because we didn't share who our, well, you knew who mine was, because we talked about, I didn't know who you were going to say. So, like, I think that's great, because, you know, yeah, I think you could have said the same thing you said about DJ, and I wouldn't have disagreed with you. You could have said, you know, DJ, what did he do against Mississippi State? DJ was the perfect example of what you're talking about for Adu and Justin against Mississippi State. He was, let me pull up the numbers. He was 3 of 5 from the field, 10 points, 2 of 4 from three, 4 assists and a rebound. You take that all day. Adu, same thing, 5 of 9. The 1 from 4 from three, you know, but once again, I mean, I don't mind. If they were, I'd have to look back at the 4 shots. If they're all open, take them.
Yeah, I would assume they're mostly open, because Adu's pretty good at either when he's not open, he drives to the basket. And if that's not open either, then he dishes out to somebody. He's pretty good in that aspect.
But so, of course, Justin Edwards, you know, he only gave you 2 points, but he did. I mean, he only played 18 minutes and shot the ball 3 times. He was 1 of 3, gave you 4 boards
and got mauled on a layup.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I remember that.
With no call.
Yeah, that was street ball.
Yeah. But,
I mean, you know, if you're getting 10 points from 21 combined points from Wagner, Thiero, you take that all day. Then you add, you know, like, let's say Z starts to give you 10 to 12. You're talking 30, 35 points from those guys. Then you add, you know, 20 from Reeves every night, 15 from Reed, 10 from Rob. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to do the math on all that. But, I mean, you know, that's going to get the job done. So, I am
10 for Rob's a relatively bad game for Rob.
I thought I said 15 for
you
Rob.
Said 15 for Reed, 10 for Rob.
Oh,
I would say Reed and Rob are mostly normally around 15 each. Both.
Yeah, around there. What's Reed averaging? Is he up to average about 12 points a game? Let me pull this up. He's averaging. Oh, I clicked Rob. Why am I like backwards on their names today? All right, Reed. Reed is averaging 12.5 points. So, yeah, you're not. Yeah. Now, a 32-point game will do that. But so that's thoughts on the X Factor. Any other thoughts there? I agree with you. I think that that was a good conversation. And it, y'all in the comments, if you have a different X Factor, hey, if it's we need Trey Mitchell to come back and be that veteran and lead us, let us know. Like, let us know who your X Factor for a Final Four run is for this Kentucky basketball team in the comments. Very curious to hear that. Also, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. That helps the show a ton. Yeah, thumbs up. Thumbs up.
There yeah, we really appreciate it.
We do. Yes, it helps a lot. We are 31 subscribers away from 300.
Woo!
One away from 270. So thank you all for that. It's been great, all the support. But so anything else there, Carson? You want to move on to breaking down this game a little bit, which we kind of did in there. I mean, but do you have any other thoughts on the Mississippi State game real quick?
On the Mississippi State game? Yeah. That the officiating was terrible once again, but we're not going to bring that up. We fought through. That's
going to make you officiate a high school game.
I would love to. It'd come down to the wire and it'd be an overtime.
You would have moms and dads cursing you from the stands.
Yeah, Jeff Nash would get ejected from my officiated high school game.
I thought Jeff Nash was always pretty level-headed in the stands. Is he not level-headed in the stands?
No.
No?
Oh no.
I'm gonna ask him. Okay.
But anyway, I thought we battled through some adversity in that game. And that game honestly felt like one of those like 2015, 2012 wins when you go on the road and you're down the whole game, everything's going wrong, but your team still finds a way to fight back and win the game. It felt like an old Cal win. And I'm going to give Cal some credit because we made the right adjustments to take the lead back and to keep it for that remaining stretch. As much as the first half was bad, the second half was fantastic. Like that, the bad Kentucky was first half. Good Kentucky came out in the second half, and good Kentucky can beat anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you outscored Mississippi State by 10 points in the second half, scored 56 points. I mean, you know, you knew what you needed to do. And I'll add something, too. I'm a big believer in this. Shout out to DJ, who has not been playing with basketball. That three to go into the halftime.
Yes.
I'm just a big believer in that little boost of momentum.
Well, you know what I say. I say first four, last four in both halves are what win you and lose you games. And we lost the first four, the first half, bad.
Yeah, bad. Bad. So, yeah, no, but that three, that's a momentum thing. I'm not saying, well, mathematically, we do lose the game without that three. But, you know, point is, it's a momentum thing. It's, okay, guys, this could be a lot worse. That shot doesn't fall, we're down 11. You know, we're only down 8. First 4 minutes, let's cut it to 4. You know, like that's – I just think that's a big mental thing. Instead of first 4 minutes, let's cut it to 8 or let's cut it to 7. You know, let's cut it to 4. Like, so that was a big shot. So, yeah, DJ, once again, I think – and I hate this for DJ, and this is the reality of Kentucky basketball. There are so many guys who are looking to be NBA prospects that right now – we know who the two guys that are in the top 10 of mock drafts are. That's going to be Reed and Rob, as the song says. And, you know, DJ can be an incredible basketball. He can be an incredible 6'4". One thing I said, you know, being next to him sometimes during post-game media stuff, dude is 6'4". I always think, okay, he's a guard. He's, you know, 6'2", whatever. No, he is 6'4", like legitimately. And he can play in the NBA. He's got to work on that jump shot. But once again, in this game, makes a couple, a big one to cut it to 8, like I said before the half. So I hate it for him, but I think he's got to accept his role if he's not the guy that we're going to ask to get 20 points every night. That's going to be Reed and Robin Reeves, you know. So DJ, you know, go give 7 assists and 10 points every night. An NBA team will take a shot on you. Coach Calipari in Kentucky has a track record with guards. They hit more times than they don't. Someone's going to take a shot on him and I think succeed if he can really lock down that jump shot. So, but I think that's his role. That's what his role needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think he needs to come in off the bench and I think he needs, well, now I'm saying that, but I think he needs to come off the bench for now because I think now you're getting to the point where you can't have these slow starts anymore and Robin Reed will provide you with not slow starts. So I think DJ needs to come off his bench, off the bench, and I think his role needs to be facilitate and play defense because that will turn into offense for him because he's so freaking athletic and fast that he will get some runouts. And DJ, 10-4 from DJ, we'll take that every night. Like
Andrew was saying.
You'll take that from DJ every night. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that – when you break this team down, everybody's got to accept their role. And sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do. Like Aaron Bradshaw, dude was supposed to be a top 15 pick, Justin and DJ. That's just the reality of, and it's funny.
Did you catch something from the game the other night though?
That they're happy. They don't care about them. They care about the team. I love.
Yeah. That's one thing that Cal is the best at. I mean, there's two things. He's the best recruiter in the country.
Yes.
And the second best thing is finding all these great players and having them come together as one and to love each other and to accept their roles. Aaron Bradshaw was on the bench hugging Ugonna, who got pulled because he had a tough foul at the end of the game that caused an and one. And Aaron's over there
I saw
hugging him, telling him it's going to be all right, keep your head up, that sort of thing. Like, that's the coolest thing ever, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
I love it. So, and I'll give you an example. I went, this is one of those funny, and this is going to sound like I'm making this up of like, but like, this is when I knew Rob was going to be a star. The first question I ever asked him, and it's funny because after I asked him, I was like, ooh, maybe that wasn't like the nicest, but I asked him, you know, a player like you, you've never come off the bench in your life ever. Not once. I mean, this, you know, that's right. So what is it like adjusting to that role? You know, that's what I asked him. And he said, I don't care. I'm here to win basketball games for the University of Kentucky. That's what I'm here to do. Now, he's also, in doing so, turned into arguably, you know, up there with Reed, the best freshman in all college basketball. But, like, that minute I heard that, and I'm pretty sure it was after one of the exhibition games. It wasn't even like a regular season game yet. And I was just like, this kid's going to be special. I just had this feeling when he told me that. And, you know, that became a reality. But this team cares about each other. They care about winning. They care about they want to win in that. They want to win number 9. That's what they care about. They don't care about themselves. They don't care about the next level. That's what, and I love that. And you're right, Coach Cal does a good job of that. Love that.
And one more thing. Did you happen to catch any of the post game comments that Reed made?
Well, I saw him make the joke about if you miss the shot, you get the rebound and add a couple more seconds to the clock, because we all did that. But did you see him say that?
No, but I know what you're talking about, because yeah. I was getting ready to say where he was like, this is really cool because, you know, a little boy from Kentucky hitting the game winner for Kentucky, like, you always dream of that. Now, you know, from being from Kentucky, you get goosebumps because you've always wanted to do that, and you get to watch Reed Sheppard do that. And I mean, I'm ecstatic for that kid. Like, he's mm-hmm. living out a dream of hundreds of thousands of little kids around Kentucky. So
yeah,
it's really cool to see.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's good for the Mississippi State game. I want to talk a little bit of SEC standings just for a couple minutes. Talk a couple minutes before for the, talk a couple minutes about the Arkansas game and then get on out of here. But so as we sit right now, Cats are 10-5 in SEC play. So let's run through the top couple teams in the SEC. You got Tennessee 12-3, Alabama 12-3, South Carolina 11-4, Florida 10-5, Kentucky 10-5, Auburn 10-5. So, you know, to get the way I kind of see this going, I think the two teams you're going to see fall out, and we're talking about this in reference to being a top 4 seed in the SEC tournament. Could they win a share of the SEC?
Yeah, you want the double bye. Is really what you're looking for.
So we're not going to break this down like situationally. How could Kentucky win a share of the SEC regular season title? Because in all honesty, Kentucky basketball is built off history, and we don't care, as you know, a ton about that. You know, we care about what comes after that. So, but I think you're going to see South Carolina and Florida fall off. I think you're going to see Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and Kentucky be the four top 4 seeds in the SEC tournament, getting those double byes. What seeds they're going to be, it's all different. And we can do that. We can pull that up. Like, I can tell you, Tennessee and Alabama have a gauntlet. Kentucky has a pretty easy schedule. Auburn has a pretty easy schedule. Florida and South Carolina, tough. Like, they've got – Kentucky and Auburn have the easiest roads because Kentucky gets to play Arkansas and Vandy. And then Tennessee, which is a very tough game in Knoxville. But those two mm-hmm. games are like, you can pretty much write them down. Yeah. And so, I mean, what are your thoughts on the standings? And do you think Kentucky ends up getting that double bye?
No, I agree with you. I think Florida and South Carolina are most likely to drop out. I don't see those teams as being top tier teams of the SEC. And I think they'll drop some here in the next week. But I think that Kentucky, I think we actually will probably get the 3 seed. And that's just I think we'll get the double bye, and I think we'll get the 3 seed, because I think we definitely win Arkansas and Vandy. But you said we're 10-5, right?
Yeah, 10-5.
Okay, so we're battling with, so Tennessee's first, then you got Alabama, then Auburn, right?
Yeah.
And then us. Well, we're tied with Auburn, right?
Yeah, tied with Auburn and Florida at 10-5. South Carolina's 11-4. Then Bam and Tennessee at 12-3. And then the drop off from those teams, you know, Mississippi State 8-7. So it's okay. Basically, four of those six teams will be the top four seeds.
So you need South Carolina to drop one. And if they drop one and you end up beating Tennessee, which I think we can do, it's definitely plausible. I probably would predict us to win there right now, actually, in my opinion. But and I think that I'm going to guess that we're going to get the three seed. And that's honestly probably where you want to be anyway, because you don't want to play Tennessee in that first round or second round. You don't want to play them in the semifinals. You'd rather play them in the finals. You'd rather play Auburn in the semifinals. Yeah. Teams Alabama and Auburn, I honestly think, are built like Kentucky. I mean, Auburn's not as built like Kentucky, but you know, Auburn only has one quad one win. I don't really see them as super elite, like they had been in the past. But I would much rather see Auburn or Alabama in that semifinal game than Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up South Carolina's final three games because, you know, we need Florida because they got the head to head. That doesn't matter when it comes to the regular season title. That matters when it comes to the top four seed. So South Carolina's next three games, they host Florida. They host Tennessee and go to Mississippi State. Yikes.
Okay.
So yeah. they could go 0-3 or 2-3.
Yeah.
And then Florida, I think they host Bama and go to South Carolina.
Yeah. They'll lose one of those.
Yeah. So to me, I think Kentucky needs to beat Tennessee. If Kentucky beats Tennessee, South Carolina and Florida will both, I think. What you need to hope for there is that Florida beats South Carolina. Because South Carolina, Florida has that extra loss. They have that fifth loss. So they only have to lose one if Kentucky were to win out. So Florida, you know, if Florida can beat South Carolina and then Tennessee can beat South Carolina falls out and then Bama beat Florida. That right there, you're pretty much locked in as a top four seed.
What I'd love to see happen,
we have to go 3-0.
What I'd love to see happen is Tennessee is the one, Bama as the four, us as the two or the three, and then Auburn as the two, because I think Alabama's play style could knock Tennessee out of the tournament. I don't want Tennessee to play Auburn in that game because I think their play styles are a little bit more similar. I would rather Tennessee play Alabama because Alabama has a better chance of beating them because they can run the floor. But then if Alabama does beat them, you know you can beat Alabama and you beat them the way that they play. So you really just got to hope that you don't play Tennessee in that semifinal. But if you do, I mean, you got to beat them either way. So, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You got to win basketball games.
Yeah, I'm with you. So there you go. I think that's the thoughts on the SEC. That's what the Cats got to do. That's how you get that top four seed, which is so valuable. Of course, if you do, you're not playing until Friday in the SEC tournament. If you aren't, you're going to potentially play on, you know, you're going to play on Thursday. Just one more game.
What you don't want to happen is what I saw today on Twitter. What's projected is you're the, oh gosh, I think maybe the five. Yeah, you're the five. You're the five. And then you play the winner of Texas A&M and Vandy in the first round. So you'll play Texas A&M again, a team you already lost to. And then you go on and play South Carolina, another team you already lost to. Both teams' play styles don't match up well with you.
Yeah.
And then you go on to play Tennessee in the semifinal. So you already had to play two games before Tennessee only had to play one.
I'm still not a believer in South Carolina, dude. And I know that's not for today. Yeah,
I'm not either. But I'm just saying,
they win those two games and they either win or lose to Tennessee in a dogfight.
Yeah, but you always want fresh legs in those situations.
No, yes, you're right about that.
Having those back-to-back games, plus Texas A&M and South Carolina are very, very physical. So, you know, it takes a toll on a team when you're just banging around all the time, and then you got to play Tennessee right after that, probably the most physical team in the SEC. Yeah. So, I don't know, it'd just be really tough.
A team like Texas A&M is fighting for that. You know, they're done unless they win the SEC somehow. They went on a run a couple of years ago. I mean, their coach is saying, hey, listen, like, if you want to go dancing, you got to win this thing. So, I mean, you're catching a team that's fighting for their playoff hopes, and that's never fun.
No.
But, I mean, Carson, I say give me a quick hitter thought on Arkansas. Give me an MVP and give me a final score prediction. I have my final score prediction here. I think it's going to be a crazy one.
Yeah, Arkansas is pretty awful. I mean, we played a close game down there, but in net, was it net? You said they're worse.
Let me read you those numbers. Let me read you those numbers. Yeah. So in net, Arkansas is 127th. Ooh. They're 2-7 in quad one games. Kentucky is 19th in net. They're 5-5 in quad one games. In KenPom, Kentucky is 17th, 7 in offense, 30. That's not right, 37th in defense. I wrote down the wrong number. Let me pull that up in a second.
They're 37th in the last couple games, I think.
Well, I don't know what I wrote down. I think I should have it. Oh, yeah, I still do have it. I have it right here. What's Kentucky in? Because it is, I promise you, it ain't 37th.
Probably 60-something.
85. Where did – how did that even happen? 37. How did I even write that now?
Hey, maybe, recently we've been playing like 37.
I don't know. Maybe maybe I wrote the number below, whatever. And then Arkansas is 122nd in KenPom, 121st in offense, 134th in defense. So, Carson, give me just quick hit thoughts on this game, MVP score prediction. I'll do the same. We'll call it a day.
Yeah, so Arkansas's net ranking is actually worse than UNC Wilmington's. Mm-hmm. So this is a pretty, pretty easy game, or should be, this late in the season. So I'm not going to talk too much about them. They're not a very good team. We saw that down there. I mean, we played the worst game we played all season.
It's a 1-6. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think UK is going to win. I think we win big. I think we break the century mark too. I think we score 103, and I think we 103-78 is my final score prediction. And I think the player of the game is going to be Reeves. For some reason, Reeves hates Arkansas.
Will you stop taking who I'm going to say for MVP? I already wrote it down, so it's not like I'm just saying this. I called him the mayor. And I'm just going to take it. I'm saying Reeves too. I'm not going to pivot. I'm sticking with Reeves. The mayor of Fayetteville, Arkansas, Antonio Reeves, will score 25 points or more. Place your bets and thank us later. Kentucky wins this game 91-68 in blowout fashion, which they will then blow out Vandy. And then we got a big one that's going to be a ton of fun to break down against Tennessee. So anything else, Carson? Are you good to call today?
No, that's it. I got everything out I needed to.
Perfect. Yeah. Leave those thoughts in the comments, ladies and gentlemen. Give us MVP score prediction for the Arkansas game. Give us your X factor for a Final Four run for this team. What seed do you think Kentucky's going to be in the SEC tournament? Hammer us with all that information. We're curious to hear everybody's thoughts. And like we said earlier, if you haven't already, hit that like and subscribe button. It helps the show a ton. Really do appreciate it. And remember, we are also on podcast platforms. Wherever you get podcasts, you can find us there as well. If you're driving to Nashville and want to hear our breakdown of the SEC tournament, can't watch it on YouTube because no phones and driving, right? Yes, you can listen to us on audio version as well. But that's going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. Everybody have a great rest of your day today, and we will see y'all next time to break down what happened in the Arkansas game. So have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you next time.